Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode of the Mind Sculptors podcast is sponsored by TCG Player, your source for all your trading card game needs. Use our link in the description the next time you get your cards to help support the show. Today's episode is also made possible by our Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show directly, head over to patreon.com/themindsculptors and you can become part of the Sculpty family today. Or if you don't want to do any of that, leave a like and comment on YouTube or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as an offering to Algorithm Jesus.
So we are gathered here today to mourn our dear friend, favorite deck, Winota Joiner of Forces. It was a good run. Had a good time. Didn't quite make it as long as I thought it would. Didn't really have the longevity that Winota, you know, you would hope. But, you know, it did better than most Boros decks. So,
that's fair.
Say a few words in memoriam is our good friend, Ian Flanner.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for doxing me in the podcast. Now, it's a sad day. I feel like Winota has lived her time as a CEDH deck and at one point was hearkened as the, you know, non-Grixis deck of the format that was that was S tier. You know, there was a very long time where Winota was considered one of the best decks in the format, and now she
is not.
Yeah, is not. I was like, you know, maybe with these innovations and things like that, I can bring her back from the abyss. But after playing her this last weekend, I realized that that's probably not going to happen, which sucks because I love that deck more than most EDH decks by a good amount. So a little heartbroken.
And it's how you met your girlfriend, right?
It's basically like the reason I have most of my success as a channel. Like my first big top results, my first giant brew. No, Winota has carried me a long way, but my God, is she 1 foot in the grave at this point?
I'd be willing to say she's 2 feet in the grave.
At least a thigh in the grave, you know. That's mostly dirt at this point. But you know, I love the idea of her putting up another top result, but she's in a tough spot. It's just this format is so mean to her, and it sucks because, like, you know, maybe in a world where Bowmasters goes away, I could see her maybe not, because like right now when I was playing the list against some people, it was like, okay, like I'm starting to get some engines going on, and then I can handle the Bowmasters, but then I can't handle the stuff on top of the Bowmasters. So it's like,
right,
if Bowmasters wasn't there to add to the stuff hitting it, maybe she's willing to.
It's funny because it's like this reoccurring theme on our show of just complaining about Bowmasters for weeks on end.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a factor.
Okay, sure. We have spoken about this card
in a negative light. Yeah,
in a negative light.
Yeah,
for almost a month now.
You killed my baby.
Yeah, it was real interesting. I mean, you had a better start than I did. So welcome to the podcast. This is the Mind Sculptors. If you haven't figured that out already, if you are on our channel, whether it's on Spotify, if you're on Spotify, you actively decided to put this podcast on. Mm-hmm. If you're on YouTube, maybe we're next up in the queue on the recommended and we popped up. But welcome to the show. And so last week we played it, the SCG Cincinnati CEDH 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian was playing Winota. I was playing mm-hmm. Tivit. Ian, what was your final record on the day?
I dropped after losing my third match. So it was a 5-round tournament at 1-3. I realized that probably was not going to get there at 2-3. So I did drop at a 1-3 record, and then I went and drafted the cube, and I felt better.
Who'd you lose that last match too?
Oh yes, Callahan would like to rub in my face the fact that they fucking kept a spite hand against me.
It was the correct hand at that table, let's be real.
Tell that to Joyra.
And I went 3-1-1, made it to the top 16. Did not get past top 16 after a 2.5-hour fucking slog of a semifinals match.
Yeah, that was tough to walk up on that one, because it was like y'all were clearly trying your best, but it was definitely at the point where I watched that last turn cycle and watched every single player miss a win.
Yeah,
which is like, wow, everyone is exhausted. Now, meanwhile, this is like hour 12 of playing, right? So it's a very forgivable understanding of the circumstances. Yeah. But yeah, people were definitely big in the sleepies.
In my defense, I had only eaten like a McDonald's breakfast sandwich day. And then had not eaten anything else, and was and didn't have any caffeine in me. So I was running on pure like adrenaline. So I did pretty all right at that tournament, playing Tivit. The deck felt pretty good overall. Yeah. Some of the big changes to the deck that I think you recommended one of them, and I think it was probably the best new addition to the deck, and that was the addition of Hullbreaker Horror.
Hell yeah.
That card single-handedly won me 2 matches and almost won me my semifinal. Like, it just was hands down the MVP of the weekend.
Hell yeah.
I think one of the things that I really liked about it was specifically being able to hold it back. Lets you deal with a lot of the board things that kind of bother Tivit in a pretty easy fashion, because you're just kind of doing what you would do anyway. And it also just, if there's a null rod, yeah, no big deal. If there's a specific piece on the board that is bothering you, you can just bounce it. And all your counter spells have 2 counter spells.
So would you say that I successfully coached you into a positive decision?
I would definitely identify it as a successful coaching session. I think that's definitely what I would call what we did on Friday night.
We'll definitely organically call it this moment.
Speaking of Ian, what do you do for a living?
I coach CEH for a living, hence my very, very natural plug there. I felt like it was a very organic way to throw that into the conversation, as opposed to our ending, which I'm normally like, I coach people. And if you take coaching with me, I can even advise you to not play Winota.
Yes, it's accurate. He'll also advise you not to play Shieldred, and then I'll still play Shieldred, and it will turn out to win, or at least almost win 2 matches.
Sure.
I have some takes on Shieldred that I'm going to talk about later on in the podcast. But so kind of the first thing is what the meta was very different.
That is a way of putting it.
So it kind of had, I think, what I would identify as the new player metagame. We saw this at Punt City last year, too, where there was a lot of the new player metagame at that event. Or not Punt City, excuse me, Silicon Dynasty. Where there was a bigger than normal amount of people who were new to the format at this event. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as far as decks that we saw, what were some of the like decks that you were facing early in this event, mm-hmm. and even later in this event, that were just kind of like out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Well, my whole thing got super messed up because I actually won round one, but then they didn't record it as a win, which, you know, there's a lot to go into on that, specifically the fact that how do you record a match without recognizing that someone won the pod? They put literally right. All four of us as having lost the pod. And it's like, how? I don't know. But anyways, so that happened. And then I definitely played against some more fringe strategies towards the bottom end of the pool. I played against Turbo Sidisi, which was interesting. Like Hermit Sidisi, your secret love.
Yeah.
And I played against Elsha, which is not like the craziest deck in the world. That one was pretty interesting in the lower pods. I actually didn't like, you know, as far as like playing against weird decks, I feel like I heard about more people playing against weird bad decks. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily that all weird decks are bad decks, as everyone knows I love brewing this format, but like some of the weird decks were definitely like upgraded.
A little sus. Right?
Yeah, like I literally heard about people playing upgraded precons in this tournament, which is tough. It's tough because I think it's got that like Star City vibe, right? Like you're like, oh, it's a Star City Games event I am at. Let me go play the Commander tournament. I don't know. It's Commander. Hey. And then it's like a CEDH tournament in full fledged. And you're like, oh, right. This is what happens at these things. Right. Mm-hmm. So obviously no proxies has to contribute to that as well. Things like that. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird, but I heard about like two Vasas and stuff in this tournament, and like not in a way that is CEDH, but like someone literally winning because they cast an Enchanted Evening and made all the permanents enchantments, and then they played a Dockside for 32 and won the game.
Which is honestly hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I heard about that, I was like,
All right. Interesting.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
That is a thing you can do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. As far as what I played against pretty much a lot of stuff that I'm used to seeing in CEDH, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. I mean, mm-hmm. so I was at least stuff that I have seen in CEDH, sure. right? Sure. So I played against two Marwyn decks, which was what I thought was very interesting, where there were two separate Marwyn decks. I played against Crick. I played against the red-green Itali. And then
I heard like, there were like four red-green Itali's there.
Yeah, evidently there was a bunch of Itali, and which, gotta say, like, I mean, it's every time I play against that deck or watch somebody play that deck, it is always just like the most fun game of Magic I think I've ever played.
Yeah.
I played against like a Joyra Weatherlight Captain, but you know, mm-hmm. in our pod, and then I played against a bunch of blue farm. So and then I eventually played against Atraxa. So it's just like, you know, I have seen a lot of the different things that have like kind of been at these events. And I think the biggest issue was just, you know, like we had some people who were playing established decks, but didn't really know what they were doing or didn't know the right place to interact. We had that issue in our first round where a friend of the show, Kevin Simmons, was playing Yidris, and, you know, Bailey and I are in this pod. And Bailey, who's another really good CEDH player, who also top 16 this event, he and I are sitting there and we had a little bit of interaction, but not enough to kind of get through a Yidris storm turn. Right. And we end up realizing, because this player accidentally flashed their hand to us, that they had a silence in hand the whole time. And we were just like, why didn't we silence? Like, ages ago. And he, you know, didn't know when he was supposed to use it or if it would be good. And so, like, there is some amount of, you know, players just being new to the format, not really knowing what's going on. And that's just kind of the reality, in my opinion, of playing multiplayer Magic, is it's going to happen. I don't think there's any way around that part of it.
Right.
But I don't know. That was my experience as far as that goes. I started off the day 0-1, drew round one, and then lost to to our good friend Ryan from Playing With Power, playing Godo on turn two.
We've seen this tournament, which is pretty sick. So funny. Apparently that was one of his New Year's resolutions, was to like top 16 with Godo, and he was like, yeah, I did it in 4 days. I don't know what to do with the rest of my life.
What am I supposed to do with the rest of the week, the rest of the year now?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it was just, you know, from a meta perspective like that, I don't know that, like, I heard about there being pre-cons. I never really saw any. But I mean, like, there were definitely people there that I played against who were using budget options, which I think is a thing that you can expect to see at no proxy events. Right. And, you know, is what it is. I mean, those players were in the game the whole time. Yeah. Like, they're, you know, it wasn't like they were not playing, but, you know, it definitely made for a different tournament, like, flavor.
Sure. Yeah.
The other thing with it too was, this was an event that had the same structure as the event in Columbus, which, for those who don't remember, Ian, can you explain how that tournament structure worked a little bit?
Yeah, so I mean, they still had 75 minutes with one extra turn each, which already people had a problem with last time, which we were supposedly having our feedback heard about, and then nothing changed on that. So that kind of sucked a little bit. There was also no adaptations to the multiplayer rules, right? Yep. So people could concede at instant speed in spite of other people. You could spy play as much as you want. You could, you know, things like the very clever solution that Eminence has come up with some turn skips, all of that stuff didn't happen. It was just, you know, straight up normal 1v1 Magic rules in loosely put into, it's like when you have a puzzle piece that like kind of fits and it just like clearly is wrong, and they're just like, if I hit it hard enough, it sticks. And it's like, that's what it felt like, right?
Like, it was trying to squish a almost circular oval into a circle. And I think the other part of that too was that they were using the point system they used last time, which is you get points and your breakers are based off of how people die in the game.
Yeah.
And that was just, that's SCG, please. That is the worst point system I could possibly conceive.
It just doesn't actually reflect how games go, right? So because you lost to a Thassa's Oracle Demonic Consultation at the same time, you deserve less points than the next person,
right?
Sure. Like, if that's the hill you want to die on, I guess, doesn't make any sense to me, but sure.
Well, the thing is they've tried to come up with these, you know, sort of elaborate ways of like doing like a pairing like a tiebreaker system when opponent win percentage works just fine. Like, we don't need to have all of these different ways of doing it. You can just use, like, I understand that they can't use like Command Tower more than likely because they have a contract with MTG Mail. Like, that is just reality. I'm sure there's a lot of people, and I knew there was a lot of people at that event who were like, why aren't they using Command Tower? Why aren't they doing this? And it's almost always with stuff like this, a contract was signed, right? Yeah. And they have to use it for their events. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they kind of have to use it. And if that's what you want to do, fine. But you don't need to reinvent the wheel on how these breakers work. It is just going to create really unfortunate situations. And then, like, in a lot of instances, it made for a lot of confusion among the players when it come to filling out the slips, because people didn't know how they were supposed to fill it out.
Yeah, I literally have one player try and tell me that that we all got points for tying for last because that meant we drew. And I was like, that's not how that works at all. And yeah, they were very convinced because the judge had basically told them that. Now, whether they told them that exactly is sort of up for debate. But like, that's, that is still even an awkward conversation to have on a base level. So it's like, what? Yeah. What is happening there with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is completely just unacceptable, and that needs to be remedied mm-hmm. as soon as possible, because that just, you can't, it's not tenable. The other thing that this event kind of brought to my attention again, not that it was not on my radar, but just kind of keeps putting it on my radar, is, for the love of God, can we get a multiplayer MTR and IPG? For Jesus Christ.
It's like, it is like, I know it so I want to point out that like, there are a bunch of listeners who are going to hear those words and not know what the hell you're talking about. Basically, the idea is that like, we do not have a rule set as far as Magic competition is concerned for
multiplayer. We do not have an official rule set.
Yeah, we do not have an official multiplayer rule set, right? We have lovely groups like Eminence who have made their own, right? But that's not from Wizards directly, right? And so people or groups like Star City Games are not going to be adapting rules because they don't want to basically risk stuff. Now, I think right now, by not making their own rules or not using other people's work that they've done, they are risking losing people showing up to their events, right? But for them, I think it's much more of a safe bet to just sort of work with a broken system, which is mind-boggling to me. But hey, that's how it works.
So
yeah, I mean,
it's also important to note too that from a judging perspective, it is the amount of information you need to know, right, to find. Yeah. Well, really, just from the layperson perspective, part of the reason behind not using secondary, and for those who don't know what an MTR is, it's Magic Tournament Rules. IPG is the infraction penalty guide, I believe is what it is stands for. And the reasoning behind not using a secondary one is really, from what I understand, in large part due to the fact that it's not fair to the lay player, because that player is not going to have easy access in order to find those rules. The rules for 1v1, this isn't the only reason. Like, there is another, like, there's obviously other pieces to it, but the logic behind this being that it's very easy to find the MTR and the IPG for 1v1 Magic. Right on Wizards website, you can go Google it, pull it right up. You cannot do that for CEDH. You kind of have to know where to look. And for the average person who isn't super invested in this format, like you and me, it's not particularly fair, because now that person has an additional layer of trying to figure out how the format works. Sure. And that is, you know, if there is a judge call that they don't agree with, they can't go reference the MTR and IPG easily, because they have to know where to find it. And so that's one of the reasons, and in large part why. It's also important to note too, that this also, not having an official one, means that local stores and independent tournament organizers that are going to want to put on Commander events, even if they use Command Tower, right, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have access to the multiplayer MTR and IPG, right? That is huge. And the ease of access, the ability to access it easily from the greater community, and the fact that these tournaments are happening, whether the rules committee likes it or not, like, they are happening. They're happening at a large clip. They need to make, like, the Wizards and the RC needs to make the multiplayer MTR and IPG now. Yeah. Like, now.
It's very frustrating, because it's like, it feels like genuinely one of those times where you're like, I would rather be set in my ways than actually go out of my way to help people. It sucks. It genuinely is like actually pretty infuriating, because it's like, why? like you want these people who have invested their time into your game, who have loved your format, whether it's in a competitive sense or not competitive. Like, do you think that people who are showing up at these pre-cons and things like that to a Star City event,
they like the game, right?
Yeah, they love the fucking game, right? And they're not there because they want to be Turbo Sweaty Spikes, right? And like, there are people like myself who enjoy this part of the format, like Callahan, right? But this is our way of enjoying Commander. And why does that mean that suddenly, like, you're going to ignore a part of the population? And also, like, even at a local game store, it's nice to have rules that work for your game. Like, that is the craziest part, right? It's like, it's not just for tournament players. It's like, we want to know that there is a system for making rules that work with your game. Why would you not want rules that work with it? It's like, yeah, the old stuff is fine. Sure. Great. Welcome. It's 2024. The game has changed. CEDH is a thing. People are playing in this way.
It's not just 1% of the format. It's a vast portion of the format.
Right. Even if it is 1%, why would you just tell 1% of the format to go screw? That sucks. That sucks.
And the thing is I understand some of the trepidation with the logic behind it. It's a lot of work to build an IPG and an MTR. I get that. I understand that is a lot of work. I'm less compelled by that argument when that is your job. Right? Yeah. Like, Your job is to make these things, to make it and run the format. And both Wizards and the RC are kind of acting out of a lot of complacency with it. And, and with that being said, please don't attack anybody. I'm good friends with the RC members. While I think they are wrong, please don't do any, like, say anything negative to them, like, in a mean way. Like, I can disagree with what they're doing and also just not send the troops, not I guess harass. Like,
yeah. You can disagree with someone and not make their life miserable, yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, I am very visibly and vocally calling out on them to, hey, we got to do this, hey, we got to do this. I don't care if you don't want to, you have to, right? Like, yeah. And if you can't do that, or you don't want to do that, then I think it's pretty fair to say that maybe you should not be in a leadership position. If you don't want to do the basic parts of leadership, that's how I feel about that.
I think that's a pretty fair take. If you don't want to lead, then don't be a leader. Yeah, makes sense to me.
It is. Running a format is, especially one as vast as Commander, requires more attention and more work than a private, unfunded third party group is willing to offer. And that's just reality. That needs to change. So that is pretty much where I'm at with it. We need fucking rules, and we need them yesterday. And honestly, there are a lot of judges out there. Seth is one of them. And I know that there are other judges who've contributed to it that have a very big multiplayer MTR that they have been working on. And so, even the argument that it is too much work for you to build an MTR, most of the work has already been done. Just bring them on and make it official. It should not be difficult. But here we are, after a year of huge tournaments and events, still needing to yell to get any sort of traction on these sorts of issues.
It's just disappointing. It's like, it just feels like, I don't know. It feels like, hey, you're a part of the player base. We don't care about you. Like, what? That's so great. Like, everyone loves to hear that there is just a directed apathy towards your actual. It is work, but it seems like a pretty reasonable request that, Commander players want rules for Commander. And if you're going to focus starting in 2020? Or 2022, right? Like, Commander is my main focus of this format. And it's like, and you'd think the thing that Wizards is focusing on from now on shouldn't have rules associated with it? Are you crazy?
It should only be a casual format too. Nobody should be play competitively. And if they want to,
the ball is already rolling downhill, right? Like it's happening, whether like
it's happened.
Yeah, but exactly.
The right? happening is long gone, and it was long before you banned Flash. It happened. Yeah. It is what it is. You got to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
The fun thing is this is us toned down from when we were raging in the car driving home.
It's just disappointing, right? Like, it's not even the matter of us being like, everyone can go fuck off. Like, it's just, it's disappointing. It's like, it is intentional apathy towards a section, a now reasonably sized section of your community. It's like, what's the point? What's the point? I don't know.
Honestly, I'm glad though that Eminence is at least doing a third party.
Yeah, moving forward with their adaptations to it, which I think is, you know, they continue to be the professional standard that we need in this community, and it would be nice if other folks would be willing to match that.
Yeah.
Right.
So. It really is just, it's wild. And and one of the things too is, you know, I think Tad said something interesting about this on Twitter last week, which was something along the lines of, you know, that, you know, people are going to have to, you know, understand that at some point there are going to be like non proxy events are going to eventually be like the way
a thing.
Yeah. And more of a thing than they are now. And, you know, with that, you know, you kind of also have to, another layer of why you need an official IPG and MTR, which is an official way to deal with those things. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like, that's the other layer to that, too, is like, if you go to most Eminence events, right, you are playing at competitive REL.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, we were playing at regular REL at a $5,000 purse tournament. Mm-hmm. All right. And I cannot stress this enough, fucking insane. But they can't run it at comp REL because they're using normal MTR and IPG, which doesn't have comp REL rules for Commander.
Yeah.
Fuck me, dude. It's complete nonsense. And this is the Cal Justice episode. Every time I play in an SCG event, it's going to be a Cal Justice episode right after.
here's the sad part about this, right? Is that we are at a point where I have blatantly heard people at these events being like, I'm starting to want to go to these less, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I heard people in the community say this will be my last SCG event, right? Like, I know for a fact I won't be traveling as much for these, which sucks, because that's not like we were really excited when SCG was like, hey, we're doing CEDH, right? But then when you go, okay, but now we've heard the feedback of the community and we don't want to do anything about it.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Very frustrating. But
also, you know, if this ever gets to SCG folks, to anyone here, please, there are several very passionate content creators and or other community members who would love to talk to you about ways in which we can improve these tournaments.
Maybe listen to not your even fucking judges. I know for a fact you have two head judges.
I was trying to do a succinct, clean message there, Cal, but thank you for that.
You're welcome. But listen, I know for a fact you have two head judges who are deep in CEDH, and know for a fact that you could talk to them and they will critique what you did and give you constructive feedback on how to improve your events. Fucking listen to them. They are some of the best judges in the world. Okay. Like, listen to them. This is a good episode. This is a good love me a good soapbox episode.
Yeah.
So let's get into these deck lists a little bit here. So, Ian, you did some different stuff with Winota.
Yeah.
Let's go through it a little bit. What makes this version of Winota a little bit different? And how did it, you know, we'll get to the how did it play. We kind of know it to do well, but take us through this list and the ideas behind.
Yeah. So, like, I at the end of the day, I am happy with the list. I'm going to send it over to you right now. Oh, you got it. Great. Yep. Lovely. So I'm very happy with what the changes I did make to the list. I think it's just like Winota's in a bad spot, period. Right. Which is unfortunate. I love this deck so much. But the biggest innovations I made for this tournament was the additions of Null Rod and Stony Silence. Now, the point of doing that was basically the fact that the meta was moving past Thalia effects, right? So like Thalia and Glow Rider and Vryn Wingmare, which were like staples of the deck for a very long time. Also notably, all of them each with a single toughness.
Right.
very weak.
Kind of sucks in the current meta.
Yeah. So all that being said, that's something that the decks really struggle with, right? So those were scalped from the list because they were either king making people or just not lining up where we wanted them to be. Thorn of Amethyst is also a card that left the list for the exact same reasons. And I found that when I was testing the deck before replacing those with anything proficient, that there was just this gaping hole as far as like stacks was concerned. Like I needed something to button up the hole that the Thalia effects left behind. So I added Stony Silence and Null Rod, which historically were kind of antithetical to the game plan, because they Winota needs artifacts to ramp, right? But what ended up being the case was that they were strong enough to really hit the best decks in the format in a way that a lot of them aren't ready for. So that theory to pay off worked quite well. I think I was very happy with those innovations, but also they're not humans. They are not non-humans, right? They are not creatures. So we don't have Collector Oof. And because of that, we cannot easily find these is the problem. So were there to be some more of those. You kind of need
exactly Enlightened.
Right. So if there is a color shifted Collector Oof style card that comes out in the near future, maybe this deck can get a little bit more legs because of that. But these new cards that were very, very effective weren't able to be found. So just like being out in the pools, I've also let's talk about more of these cards, to be fair. I tried Myrel out, kind of underwhelmed by that one. It's just a bad Grand Abolisher 99% of the time. I think I would rather have a better high impact human. I was kind of like looking at some other folks' lists and trusting them on that one, but I was really disappointed with that one. Slicer is one of the best cards to be printed for Winota in the past year and a half. Card is sick as hell. 3-mana hasty Winota triggerer that turns into 21 damage around the table every single rotation to 24 damage is insane. Like I every single game I put it out does like 30 damage to the table, and that's as a side plan for Winota's thing, right? So yeah, Slicer actually goaded. For a long time, Lena, Selfless Champion, was not in the deck. It's like the best Winota hit ever. I was so wrong on that one. Thank you, Lewis Nardust, for converting me on that one. and yeah, those are like the big changes. Obviously, we have the new Charismatic Conqueror and Dauntless Dismantler, which came in and changed the deck and gave it legs that it feels like it should have to be able to fight this format, but not, I guess. Boromir also is a new one to the deck, too. Like all these pieces are like, oh, yeah, this is great. Add to the deck. The problem is I played 4 rounds and the one round I won, I resolved and triggered Winota. The other rounds I was not allowed to resolve or trigger Winota and I lost the game. And if you're noticing a theme here, it is the correlation between these two events. So, yes. These new cards were sick. And when I was even playing conservatively, right, I was playing these game plans where I was like, layer the stacks piece on top of the stacks piece, on top of the stacks piece. And then they would be like, well, Najeela naturally drew into Jerevi. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure, fair enough. All right. So it's like, what do you even do about it? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. If anyone knows, tell me, please. But that's, you know, stuff like that kept happening. And that's just kind of where things ended with this deck, right? Like it's going to be a list I love for a very long time. I will, you know, every few months keep trying to maybe see if things have changed. But as of right now, it's not looking great for Winnie, which is beyond Harvard.